So let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark. Let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Catch Like the Podcast. This is our discussion on Lent 4 for Year C. We're going to be looking at a passage out of Joshua. My name is Jonathan Spring, and I'm joined by my friend Jen Chapman. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm doing great. Good to be here.
We are doing two different series at Catch Like the this year, so there's two different options. The one that I am approaching it is system failure. We're talking about systems in our culture that are broken or that actually teach us practices that are counter to the kingdom that God is trying to establish through us and through the church. And so we're addressing how do we establish practices within the church that actually form us to be counter to the way the world thinks. And so this week, we're going to get into it a little bit later after we kind of read the scripture, but this week we're dealing at Catalyst and in the system failure series, we're dealing with the idea of consumerism. Jen, what is, you're doing dead weight there at Nexus. What is, what's the direction that you're headed with your series?
Yes. So Dead Weight is a series that just kind of talks about all these different things in our lives, that hold us back from God's good for us and God's good for the world. And this week in Joshua 5, the dead weight that we're looking at is disgrace. And kind of, you could also kind of pull in shame, but kind of this idea of clinging to the past, the things that used to enslave you, your old habits, and not dragging those into your present because God has already freed you from those things.
Nice. I love that. That is so good. So Jen's going to start out by reading the passage and then we'll discuss it after. Jen.
All right. Joshua 5 verses 9 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt. And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Cana that year."
Nice. I think one of the things I said a little bit before we started the podcast is, you know, when we were looking at the systems that our culture has and how they are broken and the system that we came up with for this passage was consumerism. And as I was doing my study for it, I was like, I'm having a really hard time figuring out how this fits. But as we kind of got into the discussions of it, I found some real exciting kind of motivation for it. One of the things that struck me about this passage is, you know, the Israelites have been in the desert for 40 years. They've been wandering around, and now they're finally entering the promised land that God promised his ancestors. A couple of key things is that in the desert, God provided for them every day. Much like a parent provides for their children every meal and everything for them, God was providing for them. And that sounds really, really nice because, you know, we like it that God would provide for us. We want God to provide for us. God just provide. But they're about to enter the promised land. And it says that after they have the Passover meal, after they celebrate what it was that God freed them, they retell their story through that meal. The manna stopped. And now they are providing for themselves, much like, you know, a kid that's either going off to a college or getting a job for the first time or something like that. They're having to grow up. You know, God is saying, okay, I've been providing for you every day, and now I'm inviting you to participate in providing for yourself. Now I'm not providing you with manna, but I am providing you with rain and I'm causing the crops to grow. You're not doing it all on your own, you know, but I want you to participate. I want you to be a part of this relationship. So when we start providing for ourselves and we start to get a little money, we start to get a little, you know, a little thing for ourselves, like we have a choice to make. What are we going to do with all of this that we have? And one of the things that jumped out at me, it's kind of outside of the Joshua passage, but one of the things that God prescribed for them when they did enter the land is that when they harvest their crops, don't harvest everything. Like, leave some for the foreigner and the wanderer in your midst. And so that idea of not continuing to just take all that you have for yourself, but be someone that's generous, that's someone that helps those around. I think that fits really well. And that's kind of the way that we're getting into the consumerism discussion, because when we earn all this money for ourselves, the culture of consumerism tells us, well, the way that you have life is you just keep spending it on yourself and you start gathering things for yourself and you start, you know, even though you have a TV, you buy 5 TVs. And even though you have this, like, get the next best thing. And that's how you get the good life. But that never satisfies. So what does satisfy? What satisfies is being generous. And so when we begin to grow up in our, you know, just in life and in our faith, and we begin to have things, how are we going to use the resources that we have? Are we going to use them just to build a kingdom for ourselves, or are we going to do it to be generous? And so that's kind of the practice of consumerism versus the practice of generosity. Are we going to be a giver, or are we going to be consumers? So that's a little bit, in a nutshell, that's the angle that we're taking here at Catalyst with the consumerism debate here. What's your angle with dead weight? You already talked a little bit about disgrace.
So kind of focusing on this idea, I think it's really interesting that, you know, they've been in the promised land long enough to settle, plant crops, harvest mm-hmm. them. So they've been there for a while. They have established this new life, not to mention the 40 years that they were wandering in the wilderness. You know, right. So they've been out of Egypt for quite a while now. But in this moment, this day that they get to first celebrate the crops, the produce of the land, the Lord says to them, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so kind of this idea of this process of change that we go through when God delivers us from something, whether it be the suffering that maybe we endured as a child, people who grew up in, we all endured some kind of suffering, you know, from the parental relationships, or from poverty, or from neglect or abuse, or maybe there was just some negative talk in your household, or some mm-hmm. things that just kind of scarred you and you held on to, whatever it is, or maybe it's in your adult life, some things that you've dealt with.
You know, one of the things that jumps to my mind is the church. You know, how has the church been abusive? You know, I think
right.
I think sure. that's something people can relate to greatly. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So whatever is the pain of your past, that when God delivers us from that, that it's this long process of separating ourselves from that situation or those influences, kind of going through that wilderness wandering, being retaught. You know, the people were given the manna mm-hmm. and kind of taught, like in Egypt, it was that what everybody wanted was this feasting, this gorging yourself on all of this good food. That's what they saw and what they longed for. But now in the wilderness, they had to learn just to be okay with enough.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the interesting things that I'll take, you know, kind of about 3/4 of the way through the sermon, is I'll actually address that idea that, you know, it sounds all great that God provided for them every day. Like, that sounds amazing. Like, they don't have to work for it. It's just like all of a sudden they have food. But the downside is that they only have food for that day. And I would not be surprised if every single night when they went to bed, they wondered, are we going to have food tomorrow? Like, can you like just imagine that right. fear? I mean, even though God's provided every single time, I mean, I imagine that fear. I I think on that, you know, and I'm, you know, a pretty well off, you know, dude in, you know, suburbia, you know, and, you know, we've had moments in our lives, in our marriage where we wondered is tomorrow, are we going to have enough money to get through this week? Are we going to have enough money? And so I think, you know, it sounds all great that God would provide every day, but you know, that's one of the I think that's one of the mysteries, or that's one of the lessons of the manna, is that, yeah, he does provide, but it's that day. And you have to trust, you know, so it's, yeah, like I kind of going with what you were saying, like it's this trust thing that every day, you know, they wake up and they just have to trust that God's going to provide. And that's a tough spot to be in. It sounds all great in retrospect, you know, kind of like Egypt sounded great when they were in the wilderness. Right. But I think there's something to be said for that as well, that like, it sounds great when you have to work your own crops and all that stuff. It sounds great to say, well, God provided for us in the desert. I didn't have to work for it. But it wasn't so great, you know?
Yeah. So they had to learn that lesson of just taking enough. And it was a hard lesson for them to learn. But once they learned it, besides a number of other lessons that they had to learn in the wilderness, they finally got into the promised land. They planted their crops. They did the hard work of, you know, getting it to grow. And they had finally come to this place where they had made it, you know, they had arrived. Like, they are reaping the harvest. This is the produce of their land that God had brought them. It's this great celebration, but God reminds them, today I have rolled away the disgrace of Egypt. So kind of this idea that you've come so far, like God has brought you into this place of new life. God has freed you from your past struggles and addictions and, you know, all the dead weight that we've talked about for the past few weeks. God has brought you so far. But it's important when we are celebrating our blessings and celebrating how far God has brought us, that we take care to make sure we are not reaching back to that pain and that suffering and dragging it along with us, kind of in the background, letting it still affect us, even though we are here in this new place.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that.
So yeah, that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, the reason I think I brought up the church in that discussion is because I think sometimes we've had the habit or tendency to, you know, when we, especially in a season like Lent, where we're made to feel sorry for ourselves or made to feel shame, you know, we're supposed to feel like this distance between us and God, but it's not. So that we live in it. It's not so that we just sit in our mess, but it's to remind us that God still has more for us. And I think too often the church has had a habit of continuing to shame, continuing to put down, continuing to point out everybody's failings around them without also giving them hope. And I think what you're doing is saying, you know, like, yes, we remember where we've come from, and now it's time to like leave it back there. Like let's not keep harping on it. Let's not keep, you know, remembering in a bad way. You know what I mean? Like don't keep living as a slave. I think, you know, as that's one of the ways that we've talked about it too. I think in the Advent series, we talked about the fact that the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And then they were still thinking like slaves the first time they arrived at the promised land. And they're like, oh, right. We can't do it. So they spent 40 years in the desert learning what it means to be free people. Yes. Now as they're entering the land, God's like, hey, like now that all that's gone, you've been, it's all been shed. So now let's like live as I've made you. I've brought you out. I've made you a nation. You are a free people. Now let's embrace the land and see that the land is now providing for you. Yes. God provided the land and now the land is providing for you so that you don't have to keep harping on the things from the past that may be a shame. You don't have to think of yourselves as slaves anymore. You're my children. You're my free people. I think we have a habit of that, of always thinking ourselves, you know, the old Christian song, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It's like, is that all we are? And I would argue that we're not. We're more than that. We're children of God. And we don't need to keep thinking of ourselves in those negative terms. But the church has had a history of doing that because it pays, you know, job security for the pastors that preach that way.
Well, that's why we all love Lent. Like, we love to feel sorry.
That's true. It's true.
Like, yes, I am a sinner. I don't know why we tend to really enjoy that, like, self-loathing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is kind of anti-self-loathing. That's absolutely what the passage is. Have you seen The Mission?
I haven't yet. No, I know I need to. Okay, and it's on my list for sure. I just haven't done it yet.
At this Joshua passage, if I haven't already pulled in the Mission clip, because it's perfect for Dead Weight. If I haven't already used it by the time I get to this passage, it's the fourth week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will definitely use it for this week. And because, so Robert De Niro's character is this slave trader guy. He's awful. He kills a bunch of people. He's a slave trader. He's terrible. And he ends up murdering his own brother. And then he kind of goes into this depression where he is like, I'm worthless. I'm horrible. He kind of realizes how awful he is. And then he goes to this priest, and this priest offers him this penance. And so what he does is he wraps up all of this stuff that kind of represents his old life. It's like his armor and his, you know, his weapons and all of this kind of stuff. And so he puts it in this big, like, net and ties a rope to it. And he has to climb up to where, like, these indigenous peoples are living, the same people that he harvested as slaves. Mm-hmm. He has to climb up to where they live, like climb up the side of this mountain to get to them, dragging this big thing that represents everything from his past on mm-hmm. all of his sin. So it's like this treacherous climb, and, you know, he makes it with a couple of other priests, and they have to help him along the way. And at one point, he gets it caught, and one of the priests cuts it off, and he's like, no, I'm not done with this yet. And he goes mm-hmm. back down, and he gets it, and he ties it back to himself, and he finally gets up to the top. So it's almost like he's like, no, like this stuff from my past is not dealt with yet. Like, I still have more penance to pay. So he finally gets up to the top of this hill, and the indigenous people, they come out and they see him coming, and he's an enemy, you know. They know who this guy is, but they see him, and I don't remember if maybe they had been prepped that he was coming or what happens exactly, but they have every reason to treat him, you know, with evil, with harm, because he's an enemy to them.
Right.
But they come, and the leader guy comes with a knife and holds it to his throat. And he thinks, you know, they might just kill him and toss him off the side of the cliff. But instead, he takes the rope and he takes the knife and cuts the rope.
Wow.
And he tosses the big bag of stuff over the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Character, I forget.
And it rolls down.
It rolls down. Yeah.
You got to use it for this week.
Yes, it's perfect for this week. Yes, it's awesome. And he just weeps, you know, because in that moment he accepted the forgiveness.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think that, and it's interesting, you know, it's Lent 4, so we're almost to Easter. We're, you know, 2 weeks from Palm Sunday, that kind of thing. And so it's this little reminder that, hey, we're headed somewhere difficult. Let's remember that we're going that way already with forgiveness in hand, you know, maybe. It seems that way, that, like, we're going to, the cross is really tough, so here's a little reprieve from your pain and suffering. Like, remember, yes, we are going through this process of remembering, of recognizing that we have things in our lives that hold us back. But let's also be the reason that we can overcome those things is because God has already shed the disgrace of Egypt on us. You know, he's already forgotten it, and it's us that keep holding on to it.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
I think that's, that's so good.
I'm excited. I mean, sometimes we have a really hard time forgiving ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
And letting go of the past and the things that enslaved us and bound us before.
Yeah.
So
that's perfect. I'm excited for you, Jen. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. I'm excited too. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today at the Catchy Lucky podcast. We are always glad to get to talk about these scriptures and share them with you. I hope that you are able to use them and enjoy our discussions. I'm Jennifer Chapman. I'm the pastor of Nexus Community Church of the Nazarene in Dallas, Texas. You can find us on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/NexusDallas. And Jonathan, where can they find you?
My name is Jonathan Spring, and I'm at Catalyst Church in Rowlett, Texas. And you can find all of our sermons at catrow.org, catrow.org. And you can connect with me personally at I Am Spring on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, and you can also find all of our resources, both for the Dead Weight series and for the System Failure series, on catchylacti.com. Thanks again for joining us today. Grace and peace with you all.